This is Montina from Perth. I have the great honor today to be with Stelarc. Good morning, Stelarc.
Hello.
And so you recently made a performance choreographed by Robert. So can you please come back about this on this performance and tell us more?
Yeah, okay. It's a performance I've wanted to do for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Actually, about 12 years, 13 years, but my body was connected to the end of the robot arm, an industrial robot arm, 6 degree of freedom industrial robot arm. And effectively, we choreographed the movements of the body using this large robot. Its task envelope is 3 meters, so... my body could be propelled in different trajectories, in varying speeds, and in alternate positions and orientations. So really it's about moving the body through space and this human-machine interface that generates this performative system.
Okay, so coming talking about issues of controls, here you totally leave the controls of your body to the robot, right?
Yes, I mean, once the performance begins, the body is effectively positioned at the body is a kind of end effector of the robot. So there's no real issue of who's in control. And in fact, for me, that's no longer a meaningful question in any complex interactive system. Both the human and machine components are very important. So, for example, in this instance, it's the human who choreographs the robot. But then once the performance begins, it's the robot that propels the body.
This is what you call alternate aliveness.
Well, no? It's a kind, yes. I mean, in a sense, the notion of aliveness shouldn't be shouldn't only have a biological aspect. So, and also, I'm intrigued about combining the automated and the improvised in a kind of, you know, human machine aliveness that is seen more as an operational system rather than seeing it you know, ontologically.
Yeah, so a few minutes ago we had a round table about fertile labor, the new exhibition with by Yonatsu, Chris Salter and Aaron Katz. And do you also agree on the definition of aliveness as, I think, movement, agency, what else, what did they say? But yeah, basically, you're talking about a raison d'être of the work of art, so what do you put behind this notion of raison d'être?
Well, I think what's interesting for me, for example, is what minimum vocabulary of behavior or movement generates a sense of aliveness. You know, sometimes it's the locomotion of the robot. So we say, oh, that's an insect-like robot. Or it's a bipedal robot, which, you know, resembles human locomotion. Or if you have a series of different facial expressions that generates empathy, emotion, that's another indicator of aliveness. Or if you produce gestures which may have some symbolic meaning or some mundane meaning, like stop, or you know, I'm afraid, I want to protect myself, or or you know, fuck you, or you know, so gestures can be imbued with meaning, and you know, again, indicate a kind of a complexity of interaction with the world that is another indicator of aliveness.
Do you look at other type of aliveness other than the relationship between the human and robots and machine, I guess? Do you see other type of being or aliveness?
Mm. Well, the problematic is that, you know, as humans with social and cultural conditioning and a particular and peculiar language,
yeah,
we attribute certain phenomena with you know, special meaning.
Yeah.
Now, you know, are cells alive?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, is a virus alive?
Is it the difference of degree of nature or nature?
Yes, I'm quite happy with that idea that there are varying degrees of aliveness,
okay,
as there are varying degrees of awareness,
okay,
or varying degrees of what we call intelligence,
mm,
or effective operation in the world.
Yeah.
If you're adaptable, if you're responsive, if you can perform subtle actions, all these things add up to what we define as intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things could indicate an aliveness. I like to talk of aliveness or liveliness, mm-hmm, as was mm-hmm used here, as a counterpoint to being alive, which is more a biological kind of aliveness. So I'm referring more to a kind of an operational aliveness, which is the result of particular sets of gestures, particular sets of motions, particular kinds of manipulations, and so on.
This is going to be maybe my last question, or the one before.
Mm.
A month ago, I attended the ICA conference in Vancouver,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity to see you on this Vimeo video, which was pretty interesting. So what is the continuous, let's say, relationship between this work and, I mean, between the whole mm body of work that you've done since 30 mm years, mm, pain, suspension, and now mm today robotics, mm, human machine.
But there's always there's never been a kind of a linear progression from
yeah
the kind of physical to the technical to the virtual.
Yeah.
There's always been a constant oscillation between the sort of biological, technological, and informational aspects.
Yeah.
I guess that there's a continuity in issues of agency, embodiment, materiality, all of these attributes, which indicate, you know, the intelligence of an agent. I mean, to be an intelligent agent, you need to be embodied and embedded in the world.
Is there a room for aliveness in your previous work dealing with pain and moments?
Well, of course, pain is an extreme sensation that might be indicative that you're doing harm to your body.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be indicative of a necessary physical difficulty. For example, giving birth is a very painful experience.
Yeah.
Having lung cancer yeah is a very painful experience.
Yeah.
So there are those kinds of experiences of physiological necessity, but also sometimes people in sadomasochistic practices,
yep,
choose to have painful experiences. And I guess what happens when a body experiences extreme pain,
mm-hmm,
is that they can't any longer be a reflective body. Mind and body collapse into,
yep,
one throbbing body. So you can't have a convenient separation of mind and brain.
Okay, that would be good. Thank you very much.